working class blues. I work all day to take all my class. I got a working class blues. I work all day to take all my class.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. So again, you know, I look at last night's speech. That guy, maybe they better break out the red tie again. Maybe it's the red tie that makes him crazy. I don't know. But last night, I'll tell you, that speech scares me. And, you know, because, you know, if you weren't paying attention all along, that guy actually looked a little bit presidential. Scary, scary, scary stuff. Anyway, he did mention the Supreme Court, which, again, to me, one of the main issues that I think we face right now, and hopefully the Democrats will get a steely spine. But here to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court, what's going on, what we need to do. I've asked our good friend John Neuroer to come talk with us. He's the co-chair of Why Courts Matter PA. John, thanks for taking time for us.
It's always good to... I totally agree. That was... it was sort of like the situation when we had in the campaign so many times when, you know, the train would be off the tracks for 3 weeks and then Donald Trump would give a teleprompter speech. And because the expectations were so low, everybody would say, here's the pivot. You know, there he is. That's the guy. Here's the guy that can be presidential. And I think you're absolutely right that we need to be careful that we don't fall into the trap that we fell in, that I think, you know, mainstream media has fallen into so many times over the last year and a half, which is you need to listen to what he's saying, not necessarily how he's saying it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, last night there wasn't a lot there. I mean, in fact, it was a lot of contradictory stuff, and I kept watching the Republicans waiting for them to not be happy about the idea of actually using government to do things, which for 8 years they were against.
Yeah, you're right. There weren't a whole lot of details on a lot of big ticket items. So there weren't a whole lot of details on tax reform. There weren't a whole lot of details on this nebulous infrastructure program, trillion-dollar infrastructure program, which, you know, as you allude to, would, if President Obama stood up there and talked about, and he did, right, talk about repairing America's infrastructure, the Republicans wouldn't stand up and applaud like they did last night. So, number one, not a whole lot of detail, but number two, a number of things that he did talk about, he's going to have a very difficult time getting his own party behind, especially in the House. So I thought it was interesting. I was watching Paul Ryan the whole time.
Yes.
Right? And the question was, at what point in time was Paul Ryan going to applaud? And then when was he going to applaud and stand up? And I was actually surprised at a couple of the things that he stood up and applauded for. Because the whole time I'm thinking, you're going to have a difficult time getting your own teammate to get behind this game plan, Paul Ryan. I saw a tweet this morning. I think you'll appreciate this from an NPR reporter. And a lot of the mainstream media just are talking about that shift in tone because he's reading off a teleprompter. Congratulations. But this tweet says, you know, as my dad says, you can tell someone to go to hell, but if you say it the right way, they'll ask you what time the bus is leaving. And I think that's exactly right. That though there aren't details, there are these overarching big picture ideas that once the details are made available, I think we're all going to find that they're very dangerous for working people.
Yeah, I agree. And one of them being obviously the Supreme Court choice. Maybe Neil Gorsuch is the most qualified person to ever sit on the Supreme Court, but he's an ideologue in my view.
Yeah, I think qualified, I think we need to be specific about our definition of being qualified. His academic qualifications are not in question. He is very well educated. He is obviously, well suited to be a legal scholar. But you're right. He is an extreme choice. When Trump last night said that he chose one of the 20 judges from his list that he put out during the campaign, that's a list that was created by the Heritage Foundation, and it was only Federalist Society, extreme ultra-right wing jurists that were part of that list that he put out. So, part of being qualified is also, that you are, I think you have mainstream ideas about the Constitution, about how to apply the Constitution. He certainly does not. And I think it's important for us to remember that, number one, this is a stolen Supreme Court seat. This is a, over a year that this vacancy has been there on the court. President Obama nominated somebody who not only in Merrick Garland, who not only had the same excellent academic qualification, but he was a bipartisan supported mainstream jurist. And everybody agreed with that, Democrats and Republicans alike. That's the kind of judge that you choose at a time when we have this hyper partisan polarization. We have an election that we just had where President Trump's opponent got 3 million more votes than he did. That is not a mandate to appoint an extreme right wing judge like Neil Gorsuch.
Right.
So, I think that's really important for us to remember. It's a stolen seat. And that number two, this is an opportunity for President Trump that he is not capitalizing on to bring people together to nominate somebody, for example, like Merrick Garland. He could have renominated Merrick Garland. And can you imagine the goodwill that would have brought?
Yep.
But instead, he veers to the right. This is a giveaway to the hardline right wingers, a lot of whom, frankly, held their nose and voted for Donald Trump for this very issue in November.
Well, I mean, the thing is, and this is what I said at the beginning, the art of the deal, Donald Trump, is dead. Because the art of the deal, Donald, would have done something. I don't think he would have done Garland, but he would have gone to the Democrats and say, hey, is there someone we can agree on who's in the Garland mode so that we can find someone centrist, to try and make that deal? He's been, as president, he seems to have gone, art of the deal guy dead, now we're going hard right winger.
Just another example that shows you that book was ghostwritten. He didn't write it himself. Like I said, this was an opportunity, and it's been squandered. And, I think that it's important for, Democratic senators like Senator Casey, who, to his credit, is trying to be fair and open-minded about this. He is going to give Neil Gorsuch the chance to answer questions at a hearing at the end of March. But I think it's really important to recognize, what's happening right now back home, right? The resistance, the individual movements that are cropping up everywhere. Those are born out of constituents who are unhappy with the status quo. But I think that unquestionably, the anger that we see at some of these rallies and the Tuesdays for Toomeys and things that are happening on the ground right now and happening around this Supreme Court pick, it would be a much different dynamic had Donald Trump taken the opportunity to choose a mainstream judge for this vacancy. And, that didn't happen, and I think it's time for our senators to stand up and say, this is not right. This is not where the country's at. This is a stolen Supreme Court seat.
Yep.
Can't say it enough. And I think that if they do that, they will be rewarded by their constituents. They will very much appreciate folks like Senator Casey standing up in a situation like this, because this is Neil Gorsuch. He's a young guy. He's a very young guy. He's going to be there for a very long time. This is critical. It's critical that we are not silent on this.
I'm with you. And I said from the beginning that this is the seat. This is the one you have to fight and die over. And if the Republicans go nuclear and decide to do that, then you take that. That happens. But you make them go to that extreme because at the end of it, look, one, this is a stolen seat. And two, had Hillary Clinton won, the Republicans, I guarantee, would have fought whomever Clinton put up for 4 years.
Oh, absolutely. And no question. And that's the thing. That's what's really important. Regardless of what the outcome may inevitably be, and you're right, they might get rid of the filibuster and push this nomination through. Frankly, that would not surprise me in the least because of what we just said, because Neil Gorsuch is a real young guy. He's going to be on the court for a very long time.
Yep.
It would be a big long-term win for them. But what's important for us to recognize is the fight in the short term is important. The fight matters. And so I think that's why it's so important that while constituents are trying to do their part to fight on the ground and coming out to rallies and calling senators and taking the Senate phone lines out of service because of how many calls they're doing, while that's happening, our senators need to do the same thing. They need to show the same kind of fight because this is really important.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. New Mexico Senator Tom Udall came out with an idea. I saw it yesterday that the agreement would be that if Donald Trump agreed to that the Democrats would agree to confirm Gorsuch if they went to the Supreme Court with Trump and the Republicans and got somebody to retire. And then with the retirement, Garland would be the nominee for the replacement. Kind of reminiscent of the West Wing episode. any thoughts on that?
So I love that you mentioned that it was reminiscent of the West Wing episode. I also love that when they contacted Udall's press office, they said, "Oh, they had no idea that that was on the West Wing." Which, respectfully, I don't believe. But I think the idea is very interesting. I think there are a lot of things in West Wing, if you watch that whole series back now, that have come to fruition in really scary ways. I think this one is a little bit too Hollywood for it to have to actually happen. But in theory, as a thought exercise, I think it's interesting. It would be sort of maybe a best case scenario, frankly, right now after the results of the election in November for progressives who, frankly, were not necessarily enamored by the Merrick Garland choice last year.
I wasn't,
but. Right, and I think a lot of our partners in Why Courts Matter, Pennsylvania Coalition, felt the same way, and understandably. But at this point in time, I think that would be a great deal if it were to happen. I think the challenge there is the part that's hardest about that is to actually get one of the sitting justices to agree to do it, to step down. Who makes that ask? I'm not sure. And do they go along with it? I'm not sure. I think some of the older justices especially are averse to the political dealings in Washington in a way that they might not be interested in a deal like that. But the short answer to your question is sort of what my response is I think it's intriguing. It's interesting. And if it could actually become a reality, I think it would be worth it for everybody to think about that. And then you avoid, also for the Republicans, then you avoid having to get rid of the filibuster, which in the long run could end up biting them, if they actually do it. So right. It might be beneficial for everybody.
No,
so
I mean, from my perspective, the only way it works out is if Anthony Kennedy's the guy who decides to retire, because you got three justices who are over 78 years old. You got Breyer, you got Kennedy, and you got RBG. I hope she doesn't go, but if Kennedy goes, then you make Garland the most powerful guy in the country, and I just don't see the Republicans going that way.
I don't think they would go for if Kennedy's the person. I agree. I don't think they would go for that. I think they would go for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and some people would say that's not a good deal for for progressive left leaning folks because of how solid she is. Has been and is, they will continue to be. However, I am not convinced that a swap of Merrick Garland for Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the worst thing in the world to center-left progressives. I actually think Merrick Garland could be a great judge for working people. So I don't think it would be the worst thing if it's Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and that might be the only way that Republicans would even think about a deal like that. But again, I think it is we're living in these times where we have a reality show president. So these Hollywood type things maybe be maybe they're more realistic than they have ever been before. I still think that in reality, this one, that would be a tough one to swing.
Now, I'm just waiting for the Supreme Court trading cards to come out next.
Well, it seemed like when he chose his Supreme Court nominee, it did seem like an episode of The Bachelor. I was waiting to see where the rose would come from that he was going to hand Neil Gorsuch when he came up on stage.
There you go.
But yeah, these are interesting times. I think that's the understatement of the day, Rick.
sad stuff. Last question: what are we doing? What are we doing? What's the push right now? What's the marching order?
Well, so I think that we have the hearings coming up starting on March 20th of Neil Gorsuch, and what we're trying to do is educate the public about how much of an extreme jurist he really is, because of his academic qualifications, because he is clearly seen as a likable guy. It makes it difficult to paint him as this right-wing, uber-conservative villain. But if you actually look at his decisions, he is that. So that's part of what we're trying to do. Folks can get more information at our website, whycourtsmatterpa.org. We will have some opportunities for some rallies coming up. We're doing a petition. And like I said before, I mentioned this, but it's for us right now, we want to make sure that Senator Casey, does his due diligence, yes, but in the end, he ends up voting no on Neil Gorsuch. That's really important for us here in Pennsylvania. Senator Toomey on this and other issues is a lost cause, I think, but this is about making sure that our the senators who are more progressive stand up for working people and Pennsylvanians and their constituents. So we'll have a whole lot of information on our website, whycourtsmatterpa.org. People should go there, sign up to get updates, and we'll have a lot of opportunities for people to engage in the next few weeks.
There you go. Good stuff. John, I appreciate the time.
It's always great to talk to you, Rick. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, John Neuroer, co-chair of Why Courts Matter PA. Again, as he said, whycourtsmatterpa.org. We'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. Okay.